Hello, this is Jeremy with the Deuce Podcast. The podcast you're about to hear is one we've been waiting to do for a long time, the perennial Easter favorite, Critters 2, the main course. As Brad and I set up to record with our guest, we started to run into some technical difficulties. It was our impression that these issues were resolved, however, we realized they were not after listening to the recording. We had such a great time recording with our guest that we felt the episode should still be released regardless. So please enjoy the following episode the best you can with our most sincere apologies.
Welcome to the Deuce Podcast. I'm Brad.
And I'm Jeremy.
And Jeremy, we are taking a break from our series, our Loose Deuce prequels.
Yes.
And we are doing an Easter movie.
We are, in celebration of the holiday.
In celebration of the holiday.
An extra special event.
Exciting episode, you would say, right?
Yes.
And we are doing Critters 2.
Critters 2.
And we have a special guest with us. I do believe this is his fourth time with us.
I'm pretty sure it is, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's, we have with us Court Psyops from the Psyops podcast. Psyops.
An extra special guest.
No, you don't do that.
Oh, I don't
know. You can do it. No. You can do puns. I know you love your puns.
Also, it's a reference to Christ, so.
So you guest on our podcast the most, I do believe.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just figured out the logistics of it. The first one was Hellboy 2.
Oh, such a great one.
Yeah, then we did the crossover episode with the Howling on Cinema Psyops, and then Howling 2, Your Sister is a Werewolf, or
yep.
Servo Werewolf Bitch.
You know, that's still our second highest rated
second
episode.
Highest rated. People really like Howling 2 for some
reason. I don't understand.
So we had it's the musical number.
Yeah.
I think is our regular number one episode. Now we have one episode that gets like one listen a day, and not 100% sure why.
We don't know why, but we'll figure
but
it out.
We get it like it gets yeah. one listen a day, and yeah. So it has slowly ticked past
then,
the others. But yours was by far like it got
yeah.
a lot of hits really fast and stayed like up there in play.
Right. And then you and your wife joined us for probably one of our least downloaded episodes.
it's true.
It's true. Leprechaun 2. No one really wants
not a lot of love for Leprechaun.
Not a lot of love for Leprechaun. When you're doing, I believe, a lot of love for Critters 2.
For me especially,
yeah.
I like it more than the first one. It's my favorite one of the series. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I really enjoy this one.
I quite enjoyed it too. I was shocked that I enjoyed it.
I was
so
a little
much.
Worried you guys weren't going to like it. And I'm like, look, when you guys ask me, I'm like, look, I really actually do like this movie. So I'm hoping that you guys will enjoy it.
You know, even if, like, and
even
we
if
talked
we
about this earlier
yeah.
too. So even if we don't like something, we try to come at it with, like, we'll say what we think about it, but, like, we try to look for the positives and things just because it's tough to just dog on it, and we don't want to be, like, we're constantly
right.
dragging on shows and stuff. I mean, there's something good in, we can find something good in anything.
Well, and if you've got some negative things to say about a film, as long as you're doing it with a critical opinion where you back up the reasons
right.
why you don't like something,
yes.
that's fine. But if you're just like, this is stupid,
yeah.
the movie's not at fault there.
Right,
you are stupid.
Yeah.
That's your opinion.
I don't think this movie is stupid. I think it's
no,
fun.
I think
it's
it
a
is
fun
too.
Movie.
It's what's weird. So
it's
I've not
little
seen
stupid,
this,
but in a good way.
Yeah,
it's stupid, but not like what I mean. Like stupid, like it's not like bathroom humor or like
yeah.
dumbed down like that. That's
when, and
mean.
The Critters series does get a little guilty of that
yeah.
in some
yeah.
aspects as well. I was actually really shocked how much this feels like a regular alien invasion movie, even more so than the original, oddly enough.
Yeah.
It feels kind of like Invasion of the Body Snatchers a little bit, or even a little more of, like, you know, bug aliens crash land on Earth and start devouring everything in sight kind of deal.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Now, this movie stars Scott Grimes from the first movie.
Yes, it has Scott Grimes.
We all know Scott Grimes from such hit shows as ER and recently in The Orville.
And American Dad.
And American Dad.
He was the voice of Steve Smith from American Dad.
American Dad's not canceled, is it? Are they still producing it?
I don't know. If it is, it's on TBS.
TBS.
TBS, where American Dad went.
And just like when we were watching this, Core pointed out that Nick Garris directed this. He was the writer of Batteries Not Included and Hocus Pocus.
Oh, yeah.
He's also pretty big in the horror community.
Yeah,
he's done a lot of directing stuff, like a lot of Stephen King adaptations. But the thing that I'll always love him for is he was the one responsible for the Masters of Horror TV show on Showtime.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Did he do Amazing Stories?
Oh, wow.
He was involved heavily in Amazing Stories as well. He also directed the most... most people dislike that sequel, but it's the fourth Psycho sequel where it's kind of delves into Norman's past a little bit with his mother.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy that one. But
which one?
It's Psycho 4.
Oh, Psycho 4.
Yeah, okay. I think that might have been... I don't think it's the first thing he directed, but it's one of his earliest works. He also did Sleepwalkers.
I don't mind the Psycho movies. Psycho 2, I thought, is great.
I love Psycho 2. Yeah. I love Psycho 3.
I like Psycho 3, too.
Psycho 4
is that one with Ray Liotta? Is Ray Liotta in Psycho 3? I thought Dennis Franz. Maybe it's Dennis Franz.
I can't remember.
I don't know.
Yeah. I just remember Jeff Fahey from Psycho 2.
Yes. Oh, that's crazy. But do we have applause? Oh, and this was written by the guy who later would write and create the world of the Riddick, Chronicles of Riddick.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. This movie...
I would be remiss if I didn't mention that the effects for the critters this time around were done by the Kyoto brothers.
Oh, yes.
The guys responsible for Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Yeah.
So
you can, but you can
serious,
tell.
Yeah, that serious yet kind of jokey monster movie feel that comes from the creatures in this, I would fully credit the Kyoto brothers.
Yeah, it works, though, in this movie, and we'll talk about a little bit more about that. Also, we'll drop things in the middle of our episode. It's fine.
It happens.
It wouldn't be. What are you doing down there, Court? All right, picking stuff up. There we go.
It's just all an excuse.
You know, we work through our problems.
I gotta see what my buddy's working with there.
Okay. And now you know.
And now you know
why Jeremy married me.
Hello.
It was all for
Bing
my
bones. So
do we have a plot synopsis for this movie?
Well, before we do that,
no, I want a plot synopsis.
Oh no, okay. We need to do this.
Okay.
Because you need to, we are not going to be phony about this.
Oh, okay.
So we are proud members of the No Phony Podcast Network.
Are we really?
We are.
Oh wow.
So yeah, it's a group of a ragtag group. I can't even say that. Damn. Ragtag group.
So we're doing good. We can't pronounce stuff and stuff falling on the ground. Just, you know.
It's my new podcast, Breaking Shit with Jeremy. All right, I mean, break something on the ground and you have to guess what it is.
Perfect. Another spinoff. Come on.
We're going to have 80 podcasts.
That's actually the podcast Jeremy and I are going to do together called Not Another Spinoff.
Yeah, thanks.
Where we just don't spin things off. Where we grouse about spinoffs.
So tell us about No Phonies.
So No Phony Podcast Network has, well, a little everything, ranging from political podcasts to music podcasts. We have sports, gaming, comics, just chat. We have the Bible podcast. I mean, we have a little of everything. So definitely check it out. We recently released like our newest podcast, the Village Vidiots podcast. That's now a member of the network as well. This month, our featured podcast is Gareth's Random Ramblings, which we know I have trouble saying, but Gareth's Random Ramblings.
So check Gareth and Bex out.
Yeah,
wonderful people.
They've been doing this. The podcast has been going for like 10 years. So they are New Zealanders. Based out of Brisbane, Australia. So they have a very unique take on the world. So definitely give them a listen.
I believe it's time to drop the deuce on Critters 2.
Yes.
Why don't we have a plot synopsis, Jeremy?
Okay, tell me Tell me how you think of this one.
I love it.
Thank you. Thank you for being so supportive. Over 2 years after the events of the first film, Brad Brown is now 15 and returns to Grover's Bend to spend Easter weekend with his grandma. Leftover Kreit eggs that were in Brad's old farm are taken and mistaken for Easter eggs, unleashing the Kreits onto the entire town. Luckily, Ugg, Lee, and former drunk Charlie, that's just hurtful, returns from space to help Brad, the now retired Sheriff Harv, Brad's crush Megan, and the rest of the town fight the Kreits once again. There you go.
Well, Charlie was the town drunk in the first movie.
So yes,
he's a former town drunk.
He is.
You're never a former drunk.
Yes.
You're always an alcoholic.
You're always an alcoholic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Once you become one, you never not are one.
I do like how they use a little expository dialogue to bring that back.
Yeah.
Like they mention it later, but like Brad is like, hey, are you like, you know, like he goes, oh no, I'm way over that. Like, yeah, past that crap.
No, yeah. I thought that plot synopsis by Foster Brooks was really good. Don't you?
It's the Foster Brooks of plot summaries.
So, we're ready to drop a deuce on this to discuss it?
Yeah. Okay. So, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Why am I going?
Because I think you should lead first on this one.
Okay. So, let me say before I start, this was probably the Critters movie that I've watched the original Critters multiple times, and I've watched this one multiple times. But it's interesting, like, rewatching this, there's so much of this movie that still sticks with me. And there are scenes from this movie where I'm like, oh my God, like stuff that still creeps me out or that I think about or whatever. You know, so like as much as like, I was like, I can be like Critters 2 is, you know, whatever. There's so much of this that I'm like, yeah, this movie had an impact on me. And I didn't realize as much until we rewatched it. And I was like, oh, yep, okay.
And for me, I've never seen 1 and 2, but I have seen 3 because of Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
I think they played it when, like, he got, you know, during the Titanic days of Leo. But I kind of, I think I remember.
Say a lot during that time frame, yeah.
They played
a lot on cable.
Yeah. You mean Critters 3?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That.
But I think I actually remember bits and pieces of Critters 2, but I never watched it. You know what I mean? The whole thing. It's more one of those, like, I think I remember flipping through and seeing it.
If you catch the big ball-o Critters that happens towards the end of the movie, it's something that once you see it, you never forget it.
No, I don't think you'll ever forget that. No, but
most people, that's what they remember. Even when you talk about Critters, the first one, they think of that ball, even though that
one. Do you think they think that that's in Critters 1?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I think a lot of people confuse the two of the movies because they probably caught them out of order anyway.
Probably.
Watching them on cable. That's how I caught them. I mean, I watched Critters all the time as a little kid on HBO.
Sure.
And then Critters 2 I saw all the time on like TBS or USA or one of those.
Well, do you think the same thing happens? I kind of think like the same thing happens with Gremlins too. Like I think a lot
when
of people
Gremlins
think
2,
of like...
You mean Gremlins 2 or Gremlins also?
Gremlins also.
Okay.
And Gremlins 2. I think that people,
how about that, Gremlin?
People remember some of the audacious stuff from like the sequel.
Yeah,
you mean, and like they forget that like the first one doesn't have some of the same kookiness that the later one does.
Yeah. I think a lot of franchises have that because even when I mention that I'm a fan of Friday the 13th movies, people are always like, "Was this one that you're talking about? It happened," and they're describing like part 4, and I'm talking to them about part 2.
Yeah,
you know, people just do that. They mix up.
Does that like upset you though? Like when someone's like, when they're like, "No, that was 3," and you're like, "No, that was 2." I know that.
If they're really adamant about that,
right,
I will probably like pull it up and be like, "Okay, this is the movie you're talking about."
Right.
Try and show them. But if you generally are confused and you don't know, I've been there too, so it's nothing to get upset about.
Yeah, yeah. No, I hear you.
It's true.
Yeah. So, go ahead. I mean, because you've seen the movies. Go ahead and start.
Well, so the movie opens on kind of like an alien world.
Like an alien spaceship. Well, yeah, it's an alien world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you have, a person in this. I think this spacesuit looks cool.
Yes, it's very bondage-y and they kind of updated it, but it has like little metal fasteners that look like they riveted plates for armor over top of an old school style spacesuit.
Yeah, basically. And I like the helmet that goes with it too and everything.
I like the helmet too.
Yeah.
I thought it was a very good look.
It looks a lot like what they did for Star-Lord and then the spacesuits that were in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that were patterned after Star-Lord as well.
Yes.
It looks a lot like those.
So we open on this and we see somebody running. They're kind of trying to navigate through this alien world, which I thought looked pretty good too. And they, at one point, the person trips, falls, almost gets taken out by this creature. Luckily, the creature gets shot first. And we see Ugg from the first movie.
And you don't mean Ugg from Salute Your Shorts?
No.
Okay, just checking.
No, this is Ugg, the inventor of the Ugg boot.
Oh, no.
It was patterned after the rock star from the first movie who sang Power of the Night, which they hoped would be their big hit like Power of Love was for Back to the Future.
And was it?
No, God, no. I mean, only in my heart.
Right. I'm not 45.
I would totally own an LP of Power of the Night.
All right.
So Ugg saves the day, and we realize the other person there is Charlie.
Who is the one who tripped and needed help in that badass bondage-y spacesuit.
Yeah, and so Charlie was the guy who, they kind of reveal this through expository dialogue. Some very well-placed expository dialogue, too.
That's not Kalangi. I don't think that's Kalangi at all.
No, not at all. Like they're not like, hey, after you went into space, and this and this and this, and
hey,
blah, blah, blah.
Here's your clips from the first movie.
They say things
sounds
like...
Sounds like two friends reminiscing about something like, yes. Hey, I've saved your ass so many times since I brought you from Earth or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like encourages them and stuff. And they do that throughout there. They rebuild it like Scott Grimes says stuff later that you're like, oh, okay. Like now I remember everything that's happening.
Or like, why do you like the singer stuff?
Yes. This is the skin that fits me.
And we made that reference when he first pops up. I'm like, they got the actor back, but there's no frame of reference. And then like right after I said that, about 2-3 minutes later, they bring it up and they're talking about it because they mentioned that Lee still looks like the skinless form or the nothing face, I think they call it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And I didn't know. I don't know anything about that. I didn't know that these people were in the first movie.
I've never really
seen the first movie.
I think it's what sets it apart from like a regular... hey, monsters hatching kind of movie.
Right.
Like, what sets apart from Gremlins is the, like, intergalactic bounty hunter piece of it. So,
the Kreitz are kind of war criminals. Like, they're, from the first one, they're being chased down because what they do is they go to a planet, they consume everything in it, and then hijack, like, another spaceship and go off and do it again.
Yeah.
Sure.
And that's how they spread. They're, like, I don't know, cockroach... piranhas.
They remind me of like the brood from X-Men.
Yeah, that's
where
a good
example. Where they like hijack hosts and they do whatever.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
So we see the ship. They throw this alien that they've captured into kind of this pile of other alien bounties that they've captured, and they're getting ready to bring them back in. Some sort of like intergalactic council calls and says, hey, you know, did you do this? And they're like, yeah, we got it. And they said, well, you have one that you've never finished. It's the Kreitz from Earth. You didn't get them. We show there's still life there from them. So don't get them. You don't get paid.
That's what they're called.
The Kreitz. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the alien race is the Kreitz. Okay. And the nickname that they get from the kid in the first movie is Critter, so they just call them Critters.
Critters.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
And so now we're back on Earth, right?
Well, before that too, that I know it's only on for a few moments, but that alien with like the big head and stuff like that, I don't know about you, but I love that.
And I want to mention the creature that attacks Charlie at the beginning that Ugg ends up saving him from.
I actually like that one better.
Yeah, it's like a sort of scorpion monster with like a stomach mouth that was trying to devour him, and it was really creepy looking.
Yeah, and hanging from the ceiling and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah, but I like the alien that you're describing as well. It reminds me of Roger from American Dad.
American Dad?
A little bit, yeah.
I was going to say, like, what's that annoying character in Star Wars where it's like, you know what I mean? The I don't know. I can't
think. Jar Jar?
No, not Jar Jar. It's the original star of Star Wars. I can't think. It begins with an S, and it's a really weird name. The annoying
Salacious Crumb?
Yeah, Salacious Crumb.
Okay.
It's like Salacious Crumb meets, like, E.T., in a way.
Yeah, I can see that. I was also thinking, because obviously Scott Grimes, but on the Orville, that one technician that writes poetry.
Dan.
And yeah, he has that
thing. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Kind of like him, too, a little bit.
I wonder if they
I
probably
don't know.
Did
Maybe
that.
They were just like, hey, let's
I
do
would
it.
Not put that past the folks on the Orville to do something like that, to be honest.
Yes.
I really hope they run into the critters on the Orville.
On the Orville?
That would be
great. Freaking awesome.
That'd be fucking amazing.
Especially if they have Scott Grimes be like, oh, I've dealt with these before.
Like, why am I in this fucked up, dude?
Yeah. So now we're on Earth and we're getting introduced to, like, all of our characters that were going to be important to us.
Well, and Brad is coming into town on a gray
And Brad in the first movie, like, where was that set in the first movie?
The first movie takes place entirely on Brad's family's farm.
Okay, so it's not the same town.
And the Krites actually crash when they escape this thing that they're supposed to be executed for. They end up escaping, and they crash land on Earth in the same town, but it hits a field that's right next to their farm.
So that makes more sense.
And so, like, they're basically like Night of the Living Dead storming the farmhouse, but other people get killed by the Krites too, and Brad and his family survive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But they move away at the end, basically.
Well, yeah, they run away because nobody believes them, because the only evidence they have, the Krites actually blow up their house, and then Ugg and Lee use some kind of weird thing that causes reverse photography to have it be rebuilt. So nobody believes them.
Having not seen that, that was a little confusing for me, but that's just because I'm sure it would make sense.
You don't really need to know any of that. I'm just kind of throwing it out there because it's coming out.
Well, you don't need to, but it's good reference.
Brad dealt with them before. Brad was a pariah because of whatever happened, and they do give that an expository.
They do. They do give that, but you know.
Yeah. Well, they all treat his family like they're crazy, and even when he's coming in, like the bus driver's like, "Is that where that crazy family was?" The Brad family. And he goes, mm-hmm, and like puts his hand over like the name tag on his luggage.
Now let's talk about the junkyard guy that actually finds all the eggs for the critters.
Yeah. Well, there's the what was his name? Wesley?
Sure, I just called him Jim Beaver from Supernatural.
No, not him. Not Quigley.
That's the thing, Quigley, yeah.
Yeah, no, this was I think it was Wesley.
Yeah, Wesley. He's the Matt Dillon wannabe from...
Right, no, I didn't mean him. I meant like the... Does he find the... Oh, so he finds the eggs and then he sells
takes,
it to...
He takes Mr. Quigley to come see the eggs.
To see the eggs.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, check these out, because, you know, souvenirs of this go for big bucks or, you know, like whatever.
What are they? They look like avocados.
They do. They look just, they're like green with like black spots on them.
Cherimoyas.
Yeah.
Dragon eggs.
But
put them into fires, and the next thing you know, you could be the mother of dragons.
Ooh. The mother of critters.
Ooh. Didn't they have like, so they had the little capsules when you were younger that you put in water and then you could like wear.
Yeah, they still have those.
No, but then they have eggs too? Well, that did it as well, or was it just capsules?
I don't know. They may have
had they should have those. Yeah. And then you get like this hairy like critter.
I just remember
the next they just gnaws on you.
Whenever you kill them in water, they just got like super slimy and they were gross.
We did the ones where they looked like little plastic dinosaurs and you put them in. And I remember when I was a kid that they would expand and they'd be like rubbery, whatever. We tried that out a few years back. And they got from like this big to this big. Like it was really a letdown.
It sells several factors of 0.7.
So he sells the eggs to the
Quigley.
For Meisterbrow. A case of Meisterbrow.
Yeah. Was it like, Meisterbrow?
And the Playboy magazine.
Well, the guy promised him a case of Meisterbrow for all of the eggs. And then the guy didn't have it. All he had was like this crappy beer that the kid didn't want. So the kid was like, I'm taking two cases and then all of these to prove my sexuality and that I'm not in any way, shape, or form anything other than a straight guy that wants beer and porn.
Yes.
Even though you found the most gayest eggs ever. Like, ooh, look at these things. I'll sell them.
He's like, these look like Fabergé eggs. I don't know what that is.
So he brings the crate of avocado eggs to to Quigley, trades the stuff out, drives away, and of course sets all the paper magazines on top of the cases of beer in the back of his Jeep.
Rookie mistake.
Wait, it's how you lose your porn, kids. And so his skin mag like flies off and on the side of the road.
Just one of them. I mean, he grabbed like a bunch of them. So just one of them falls off.
Just one of them. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's very important that it's that specific
mag. That specific one. We'll get to that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're meeting people
like,
through the town.
In the first movie, they weren't like half set of eggs, were they?
No, it's heavily implied in the end of the first Critters that they either molested or raped or mated with chickens, and the result was these fertilized half critter, half chicken eggs. Because they just show up, and from what you can tell, they eat and eat and eat, and then all of a sudden they spawn.
Well, are these cage-free avocados? That's what I want to know. I mean, come on.
I don't think the critters are cage-free because they try to imprison them to keep them from massacring entire planets.
Are they cruelty-free? And by that I mean, are the critters not being cruel to
Cadbury's? Please tell me.
Some of them are Cadbury-based eggs, as far as I can tell.
Some of them are Reese's.
But yeah, there's some weird thing at the very end of the first movie where they're in a chicken coop and there's like a bunch of critters doing some stuff and then the chickens are still alive. And at the very end of the movie, you see these sort of what these eggs look like now. It's just a lower budget version of that, and they just ran with it for the second movie.
Huh.
Interesting.
It's very interesting. Yeah.
Well, and Quigley's start hatching
it's the day before Easter, right?
Yeah.
Like when we're recording.
There you go. So we're meeting the cast of characters. Like we meet, what's her name? Megan?
Molly Ringwald's
terrible at art.
Friend from 16.
So she's not in the first movie, though, right? Is she?
No. It's implied that she was a girl that he had a crush on. But the actress who played his sister in the first one looks kind of like her.
Okay.
But I don't think they got that particular actress back, so they just brought in an amalgamation of
now,
what would
she
look like.
She sucks at parking her truck.
Yeah,
she's terrible at it.
She parks about 3 inches away from another vehicle.
Hits him with her door like it's nothing.
And then...
Oh, nothing. Don't even know anything.
Instead of adjusting and getting back into the spot, she... and she doesn't, like, crawl out of the door even in a good way.
Not
she, like...
Way.
She leaves the window ass first.
Huh?
Of
course
she was okay with
a cesarean.
Yes, that's correct.
Maybe she was born that, so she has to do that.
Yeah, that's why she goes through the window instead of the door.
A little right reference there.
Yeah. But yeah, and she's like, perfect! And then, like, goes inside. But her dad owns a newspaper.
And is from Twin Peaks.
Originally from Twin Peaks. And any other thing, because he's one of those actors.
The stuff with
Sam Anderson
happened.
What's his name?
Oh, I gotta get
Sam
out.
Anderson?
Sam Anderson?
Yeah.
Look, just
Sam Anderson.
You've seen this guy multiple times. I mean, he's everywhere. At least back in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
He was.
Yeah, so if you see him, you'll recognize Sam Anderson. Go look him up.
He usually plays an amiable mug of a guy. That's his thing.
And his daughter Megan works on the paper. And there's another, is it Cindy? No, who's the, Sal? Lynn Shea?
Yeah, and she's doing her absolute best to look like Mink Stoll as we made it.
Like I said, it's Mink Stoll.
But yeah, so Sal works for the paper as a reporter. It's Lynn Shea. Lynn Shea is...
Robert Shea's sister, so she's in a lot of New Line films. And she's actually become a pretty good actress, but she did a lot of these kind of corny... like jokey type character.
I thought she did really, really well in this.
But she does that kind of character where it's
She's not in it that much, which kind of she doesn't really have any lines.
No, but when she's on, I don't think, when she's on screen, I'm not like, ugh, this. Like, when she's on screen, I'm like, this is fun, I like her.
She actually was in the original Nightmare on Elm Street as well. She was Nancy's teacher, she did really well in that as well.
Yeah.
She is kind of an uneven actress. Sometimes she goes really over the top and corny, but some of the stuff she does really well, and I would agree, she's actually pretty middle of the road here. She's kind of like Una O'Connor in some stuff.
Well, I was honestly, throughout the movie, I was worried, because it's been so long since I've seen this. I don't remember some of the very small details, but man, I was really like, oh no, is she going to die? Is she going to die? Like, I was very scared for that throughout the movie.
Yeah, you get the feeling that her character is obsessed with Lucille Ball, because she really looks like Lucille Ball in the way that she's dressed in a lot of cases.
Kind of, she is. About that. This movie has a low body count, though.
The Critters movies are more about trying to deal with the infestation of the Krites.
Gotcha. Yeah.
The first movie took place mostly on the farm, and it also has a really low body count. This one's much bloodier than the original.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's try to get to one of my favorite scenes, which is the whole scene where the kids grab the eggs and we're waiting for the Easter Bunny. Are they at the church when that happens?
Brad's grandma.
Yeah, Brad's grandma.
Who is this hippy-dippy chick.
She's hippy-dippy.
She buys some of the eggs from Quigley for kids to decorate.
Yeah.
And so he has a crate of them sitting by the heater in his office. And
just like
she takes
dragon eggs in a fire, he's incubating them.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And there you see them like pulsating and like they're gonna hatch. She takes the rest of them to be decorated and even gives one to Megan's little sister.
Yeah.
Who's a cute kid. I just can't remember what her name is. But
how did she hear about these eggs? Like, you know.
She went to him, he promised to get her.
Okay.
Something, because he's kind of the kind of guy.
Yeah, so he's like the Morgan Freeman from like Shawshank Redemption.
Yes.
He's a man who doesn't have to get things.
Exactly like that, without all that baggage of being awesome like Morgan Freeman.
Right.
It's true. Yeah.
Or the voiceover work of, or the Oscar.
Or the survivability in a movie. Yeah. Somebody shoot this motherfucker. She gets these eggs, and she hands one to the girl, and she takes the rest of them to be decorated by these kids, because she runs a daycare. And so they take these.
It's a great daycare, where, you know, the kids are eating paste.
Yeah.
Sniffing markers.
As kids will do.
Yeah, as kids would do.
You can't stop kids from doing that, so you might as well just give them the least amount of harm for paste to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think she's vegetarian, too, which I feel like I need to reference.
But I thought, like, all the old ladies were, like, did they paint them? I thought they painted eggs.
She donates the rest, but she does a thing for this daycare thing that she runs where the kids are decorating them. And then it's like something that's on behalf of the church, because a lot of the old biddies are there collecting it that have to do with the church, and they're all involved in it and just kind of watching over the kids.
It's like for their Easter egg hunt.
Like,
she's donating to that.
Like, no one in this movie, like no characters in the movie I hate it. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't really, like, hate them so much where I'm like, I wish they would die.
No, they're all pretty tolerable.
They're all pretty tolerable.
Quigley's
probably
my favorite.
Like, one.
Yeah, but he's supposed to be, like, this greasy grifter guy who promises one thing and then delivers another. I mean, another.
So he's down under. Quigley's down under.
Yeah. Oh.
So all the kids are I love when the ladies paint them, and they paint them in, like, the lines of what the shape of the eggs are. Like,
I think they look freaking cool.
I think everything looks great.
Because the eggs, for those of you who haven't seen this, the eggs are, like, textured, and they're almost, like, hexagonal kind of patterns.
That's why I say they look like cherub eggs.
Yeah, and they paint along those, like, hexagons and stuff. So they have these very interesting patterns.
They're like scales that were stretched out as the eggs grew with the thing inside of it.
Yeah.
And they just kind of healed back over. So they look like these asymmetrical dragon scales over the eggs. Yeah,
they're cool. So they get everything set up. By this point, Quigley's been, well, we assume killed by...
because of some of them start hatching.
Well, you actually do see Quigley's death.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do.
Because he comes upon the dog, right?
Yeah, he does. Yes, and they jump out at him.
Yeah.
But we don't see the end result.
Yeah, I'm more sad about the dog being dead and seeing the dead dog than I am about quickly dying.
Yes.
That was actually really horrifying to see them on top of the dog.
Dog?
Yeah. Like, it didn't bother me more than the cattle or any of the other animals.
I forgot he had a dog. I was more worried about that dog afterwards.
Well, they pop up from the dog, and then I think they were like, well, did that look too much like puppets? We got to do this next thing. And because they all popped up in tandem.
Yeah.
So then they show them just eating meat on the dog. And I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, they had to add that to it. And then he spins around to, like, go leave, and they see him.
Yeah.
So we get
to one of my favorites.
Yes, at the church.
Which is, you know, hey, collect these eggs, and who knows, maybe the Easter Bunny will make it. So the kids have gathered.
And there's a new sheriff. There's a new sheriff in town. So,
he's probably the most vile character.
Yeah, right. Harv has retired.
Yeah.
And so,
moved up to the last.
Well, no, he didn't retire. He got voted out.
Yeah, I think he got voted out.
He would tell people that he got voted out. The rest of the town would say, no, he's retired.
Yeah.
So they feel guilty for voting him out because of the stuff that happened in the first movie.
Yeah, exactly. So the sheriff, new sheriff, Corwin, Sheriff Corwin is kind of a douche. And they're like, you have to dress like the Easter Bunny. Harv did it all the time. And he's like,
ugh. Not Harv.
Yeah. And so he dresses up like the Easter Bunny and he's outside and he's like, oh, I got to take a leak. And so he's like undoing his Easter Bunny costume to go to the bathroom.
He makes some joke about how he should just leave it hanging out to scare the kids.
Yeah.
To show the Easter Bunny's junk or something.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you did kind of want to give him the benefit of the doubt that maybe he's just cranky, when he does that, you're like, oh, you need to die now.
Yeah, you need to die now. No one wants to see your carrot.
Well, those baby carrots.
Which is why he's so angry.
So then he sees one of the eggs, like, hatch. And then one of the critters starts rolling and then ends up...
Three of them jump into the crotch of his suit.
Which is perfect. It's fine.
And you actually see one of them lands right on his junk and he screams. The actor does a really good job on that part because they're running around inside the suit. And one of them's right over his junk and that's when he gets really scared and freaks. I think someone took a little...
But it's actually... But, like, it's funny and honestly, it's not, like, hard... I mean, it's a little bit cartoony, but not, like, to the point where I'm like, I don't like it. You know what I mean?
Like, if you're just watching it as if it's like entertainment and action, you're like, wow, he's getting eaten. That's fun.
Yeah.
But if you really think about it, they are eating him inside the suit. He can't escape. So it's really horrifying all the time.
Yeah. No, and then
it's a balance. They're giving him a sermon or whatever, and then he falls through the window.
Yes.
Like, oh, no.
Yeah, over the altar. And, of course, you see where they burst out of the suit, too.
Yeah.
And he's just like, blood's just pouring from his mouth. Because inside is basically liquefied, probably.
Oh, yeah, they probably ate inside of him, ate all of his guts, and then shot out.
Yeah.
Talk about a good Friday.
Well, okay, so the thing that, like, I think this gets me more than, like zombie movies and stuff where they're on him. Because a zombie is your size. You know, these things are just little balls of fur, and it's like, you know, they're on him like bugs. And it's freakier than that.
When they swarm you, it's horrifying. If it's just one-on-one, it's just one of them and you, they're less terrifying because it's like you can kick it or
hit it with a baseball bat
or something. Yeah. But there are sheer numbers of them.
Yes.
And something that's smaller than you in a swarm, that's what's really terrifying.
Right.
Yes, right. And so he's dead.
And Brad's like, seething, you know, I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
But of course, everybody's like, no, that could have been a hunting accident.
No, they said it was a farm, equipment accident.
But right outside a church? How is that a farm equipment accident?
Right, how is that a farm equipment
accident? Well, everybody can see gas reflecting off of a weather balloon.
I don't know. Maybe it's, I don't know. But so then Brad goes to find Harv.
Yes.
Right? With what's her bucket?
Megan.
Yeah.
Because
Molly Ringwald's friend.
Yeah, Molly Ringwald's friend. I don't know her name, like, because she's kind of, she's just there in this movie.
Yeah.
Kind of. I mean, she really doesn't do anything.
Yeah, she's, she has some okay moments, but, like, her character isn't very...
She's a trophy for Brad's character. Let's
right. That's exactly yeah. right. Exactly. I mean, it's just one of those.
He overcomes his past and shows his bravery, and then she's the reward.
Yes.
Which is not how you should write a female character.
No. No, you should totally write a female character like that.
Well, yeah, it would be a big that? Blockbuster Hollywood film. Yeah, sure. Right. But if you want to accurately portray how people interact, then yes. No, you should never write a character.
So, Harv basically tells him to piss off.
Yeah. They don't believe me anyway. They don't want me around.
Well,
they voted me out.
Everybody is like me. When they look at him, they automatically assumed it was Danny Bonaducci. Because when I was a kid, especially in the first movie, I thought he was Tom Danny Bonaducci as a little kid. I'm like, holy crap, that guy
ever older. Like, he would have been like 40s, something like that.
Well, yeah, here's the thing. I would see like Partridge Family as a little kid in reruns.
Right.
And have no concept of time.
Separate time.
So I thought it was the same guy as a kid.
Can we speak?
He just showed up on the Partridge Family bus and came to town.
We also talk about, as long as we're talking about how you should not write women.
No, please.
Can we talk about Lee?
Oh, can we?
So the aliens
talk about
who
Northern
come back
exposure,
with Charlie, they're
by the way.
The same ones from the first movie.
Right, talk about a Northern Exposure. But here we go.
There's Ugg and there's Lee.
Oh, Ugg put them Lee. Together. It's Ugg Lee.
Wah, wah. But Lee is the one who has not picked a face to stick with yet.
Yeah, they mentioned that in some of the expository dialogue, that the guy who looks like the rock star from the first one, it fits. It just feels comfortable, so he's keeping that face and that body. And Lee just can't find someone that fits, that works for him.
Yeah, so Lee's just trying them on. Like taking a little bite out of every chocolate in the box.
And then putting it back like a douche.
Yeah.
So they come across the Playboy magazine on the road.
Yes, that blew down there.
Yeah, that blew down there.
And
I do say blew down there.
Yes. So Ugg Lee looks at the magazine.
Well,
and
first
like,
he starts trying to grab Charlie's face, and Charlie's like, no, not me, you don't want to look like me.
Yeah.
And then he just tries to block his face.
I don't think anyone wants to look like Charlie.
Not even the actor who is playing Charlie.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that's me, but come on. Anyway, so, Lee starts changing to this Playboy model, which I actually thought this was actually kind of funny, in a way.
Yeah.
Especially with the big staple, because...
That part was great. It didn't feel exploitive until all of the clothes fall off, and that makes sense because he's trying to look like the Playboy model. The staple thing was funny, and then in those scenes with the boobs hanging out, because it's the same thing, it's from that Playboy thing, it felt exploitive when she just says, kill Kreitz, and walks off, and they focus on her ass with that thong thing that's left behind.
Right.
Yeah,
so that's when I'm like, okay, too far.
So the body starts morphing. And turns into the model. And so they do this close-up shot of the boobs growing and, like, busting through the costume. The busting is busting. But it's this thing survived, you know, being in space and being attacked by monsters and everything. But those breasts just rip right through it.
Right.
It's weak to silicone.
Oh God!
She walks off naked, and then the next scene that she's in, she has this.
Charlie does grab her clothes and the clothes and says,
"Yeah, but it's like perfect fit."
Yeah, the outfit.
I don't know how that works.
It's badly written. It's just an excuse to throw some tits in. I'm just saying,
Charlie all of a sudden became a contestant on Project Runway, and he just was like fitting the model. I mean, come on.
He has to do something.
Well, because Lee transformed into a woman, he automatically has the skills of a seamstress.
Sure.
And made his own outfit super quick.
No, there you go.
He used the staple that was stuck in his stomach.
That was funny. I thought how meta is that? That's really good. I love that.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah. So go ahead. Oh, and so another thing I want to talk about is like the restaurant scene where they do come in to because they start blowing these critters away because they're Bounty Hunters, pretty much.
Yeah. So Eddie Deason's in this movie.
Right.
Just in case anyone cares.
Just in case you want to know, from Grease.
Does that bring the movie up or down?
Correct. Correct.
Well, that's a good question. Do you think Eddie Deason brings the movie up or down?
Look, he's not in it that much. You know?
Just enough. And he's just not enough. Super annoying. So, like, in this case, I would say just it's okay. It's okay
for right. And, like, Midnight Madness, there's such a big cast in that that it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But for this, it's, like, it's just the right amount of Eddie for me.
Can I tell you that, like, when I was younger and Eddie Deason would come on to stuff and I'd be like, awesome, that guy. And I'd be really excited.
He speaks to me. He's a nerd.
When I see him in things now where, like, I watch a movie, like, I'm okay with him in Midnight Madness. But when he came on here and I forgot he was on there, I was like, fuck, Eddie Deason.
You're like, fuck. God,
like,
you're going to make it really cartoony.
Yeah. And, like, make weird faces and stuff.
It doesn't.
I feel like that role was written for him to be that kind of guy. And he ends up doing some things to help them take care of the critters at the end, to where he's even more redeemable of a character.
Can I tell you? Can I tell you something? Probably his best role that I've ever seen.
I don't. Yeah, it's the least decent-y decent role I've seen.
Right. If that is a thing.
As far as I'm
right concerned. Here, right now, we decided that top Eddie movies, this, Midnight Madness, and Grease, in that order.
He does get a chance to do something different when. So Lee takes his face and goes, kill Kreitz, and walks off. Now,
that's a thing. A lot of people love the way that he goes, kill Kreitz! They love it. I don't know why.
I just thought you liked him in that costume.
Yeah,
no,
Eddie Deason running around the fuck me boots is great.
If they would have left Eddie Deason to be...
Oh, that would have been terrible.
To be a badass more. But
I
if
don't
he
think
would
I
have got, but if he'd have gotten a chance to be a legitimate badass, I probably would have been
more interested.
But
that's not why you
this.
Hire him. You don't hire him to do that. Not in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah. It would have been cool to see his character come up with the idea of tricking them into the polar ice distributing place for the polar ice burgers.
Yeah.
Like, that it was his idea.
Because he worked at that
restaurant. He knew what they would have there.
Yeah.
They would have all of the meat and stuff. I mean, Brad is, like, super problem solver in this movie. They give
Thank
his
you.
Character
oh,
so
I thought
much
you meant,
stuff.
I thought you meant me. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Scott Grimes' character of Brad is a super solver, problem solver guy.
What about me?
They called you Bradley.
Oh, okay. Yeah, whatever.
But
actually,
no, so
if he transformed into him, it
but
would be
no, honestly,
dude.
Let's get to that. So where
oh, yeah.
we are, like, you know, it is that night and we're going to have a plan on how to destroy all these critters.
Well, actually, before we get too far, let's go back to the burger, the heifer.
Okay, there are some good scenes of that.
Yeah. So this is the one that you were starting to talk about before I rudely interrupted, so I'm sorry. But the...
No. He had to diss on Deason.
I did.
But all of the... I had to do some Deason for the Deason. So they get in there, and all the critters are basically eating. So, like, Ugg and Lee go in. The critters are all just feasting.
It's something like meat, though. Like, are they mostly meat? Because why are they eating, like, the salad bar?
They eat anything, but they prefer meat.
Okay.
And they prefer to be living and breathing and bleeding as they're biting into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just didn't know if they were on the keto diet.
What? Giggle. That's my ringtone now.
Yeah, go ahead and use it. Because I'm on the keto diet.
So.
And you look great, by the way.
Well, thank you. I wasn't fishing for compliments, but thank you.
Go ahead.
No, yeah. But so they're all chowing down, they're eating, and you see them like the bounty hunters are like slowly blockading the door. So
I
they
love
can't
the business
away.
With him ripping the leg off the stool to break the to lock the door.
Lock the door
in so they can't get out. Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome.
This has a little bit of Gremlins into it, to where you know all their
that was the thing that I was thinking of. This one is way more Gremlins than the other one because it gets the balance of the horror and the fun of the creatures a lot better than the first one.
Well, especially like how some of them die, especially in the scene.
Oh yeah,
really
and they. In the other one, they make noises in the first one, but in this one, they actually have voices and they're like saying things kind of like what gremlins are.
Huh. Yeah.
So they're like embracing the fact, yes, we're a gremlins ripoff.
Yeah, right.
And well, they're...
But, like, one of them dies, like, and you pointed out, which is really good. One of them, like, dies in a fryer.
Yeah, that was awesome, because it's, like, the hair's off of it, and it's all red.
Yeah, you got to see, like, one of the critters is, you know, not allergenic. You know, those cats, where they're the hairless cats.
Well, and the one gets the top of its hair shot off, and it's all bald, and it looks right at it, and it goes, meat.
That says like, bitchin'.
Yeah,
it's bitchin'.
Yeah, the one that falls in the grease though is fantastic.
I love
it,
that.
Like it comes up and goes wah! And then sinks back into it.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
I like the practical effects of this, even though we know that they're puppets. It still looks fine.
Well, when they shoot them and they like blow up and you see like the goo that comes out and everything, I think look the deaths on them look good.
Right.
The ultra slime that they use that's kind of greenish for their like guts and blood and stuff. They did a really good job.
Right. I mean, it could have been like, you know, the stupid Nickelodeon slime, but it's not. So it's very
no, cool. It's this like kind of sallow, like if you squash a big enough bug, that's the gravy that comes out.
Yeah,
yeah,
the grossness that comes out.
Yeah, it's ultra slime, a little bit of green food coloring, and then maybe some cream or something like that.
Some cream, but not too much cream.
Yeah. Not too much.
That's too much cream! Too much cream! But this is where we kind of get an important plot point that they feed together.
Yes.
So
which is important.
It comes back to us later that, you know.
Yeah, they like to be together as a family and while they're eating. And I think it has some kind of a ritualistic thing too, because you see them eat a bunch and then there's more of them. Then they eat a bunch more, there's even more of them. And I think I made the joke where they're like the most sinister tribbles where they're born pregnant and hungry.
Yeah. Right.
One of the things I'm going to talk about is that truck that, you know, the
Gazette truck.
Yes, the Gazette truck.
Ford.
That does not have any windows, that we never see them roll the windows up at all.
Yeah, they never do.
You figure, like, these things can go into the thing. Roll up your window!
They gain enough speed, and they can actually leave the ground and come at you with an aerial attack.
Yeah. When they're rolling. Even at one point, one flies in, and they go, and they, like, smack it back out of the vehicle. At that point, I would roll the window up, but they don't do that.
And they don't. I don't remember them saying anything in the dialogue beforehand where she's like, "You need to get the windows on the truck fixed."
Truck
or
fixed.
Anything like that.
Because I'm like, okay with that. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, as long as they give me some expository dialogue.
I don't know why I'm picking on that. But
guys, it's really warm out. We don't.
I'd rather be eaten by fucking space piranha cockroach creatures.
Just turn on the air conditioning and cool the whole.
But can we get to the point where they decide to have a plan to kill all of them at once? Because this is such a great scene. I mean, these leading up to it.
Lee goes after some of the Krites. They've attacked the town. We see them rolling
and
around.
And now everyone's like, okay, I believe you.
They're attacking. There's like another restaurant. It's like a diner or something. There's like a burger joint that they get and they blow up first. And they kill all of them inside of that. And then there's another food joint or like a diner that Lee goes into, and they just basically swarm him there.
Right.
Yeah.
No one questions the fact that these guys are like kind of aliens, like from a spaceship.
Once they see the critters, they really don't worry about what
they do.
If the bounty hunters are killing the critters, you don't care where they're from or what they're doing.
Not unless you're that dickbag farmer from later. Not sure one of the church people. And then, you know,
build a wall around this kid. He brought them back.
Then you can hate whoever you want.
Yes.
He ain't one of us.
So, as they are, Lee dies, and they say, well, shit, we got to do something.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Ugg just loses it because it's his partner. So he's distraught.
Right, so he turns into Voldemort.
The nothing face look that they have, which has no nose. I thought they looked more like the Silence from Doctor Who. They were like these weird alien creatures that have no face.
Well, they don't even have,
or like a thumb.
They just have indentations where their eyes are.
Yeah.
But they don't have eyes either.
I don't know how the actors breathed underneath all of that latex.
I think
that moved more so.
I think it's
a respirator thing.
Well, I think because the mouth and nose pieces kind of bulged out, so I'm guessing they had something like this so they could breathe.
I hope they had something.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. That was really freaking claustrophobic.
It looked uncircumcised to me. I'm just saying.
It's like a thumb with a turtleneck.
It really did.
Well, they go, he's not breathing. And they go, well, yeah, he has no mouth or nose.
But I'm glad that they said that. Like, they're explaining that.
And the actress is like, no, I mean the other actor. He can't breathe.
Can't breathe. Should we stop? No, keep rolling.
We've been through three Uggs already. So they decide at the church, well, they're like, okay, we need to come up with a plan. At one point, they're at the house, and, like, Harv rescues them and, you know, shoots the critters. And, like, they gather back up. They say, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to lure them to the meat packing place, the frozen burger place.
Yeah.
Get them all to eat, and then we will blow it up with them inside.
With our TNT that's just, you know, hanging out on the shelf at the mercantile. Yes.
Well, country stores have that kind of stuff for stump removal back in that time.
Yeah.
That's the only excuse.
It wasn't as carefully regulated as it is later.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah. Because, like, now you have a federal thing you have to sign
out. It seemed like they had a lot of it.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure they did.
I mean, there are a lot of stumps, I guess, in Grover's End.
Grover's End is actually used to be known as Stumplandia. Explosive ordnance that they keep in the local shops that they were able to become Grover's End.
There you go.
I think in Grover's End.
So they start
going that way. So they all start rolling, which I thought this was actually fun, really cool.
Yeah.
Where all the critters start rolling that way.
Well,
they lay out all the meat and lay a big industrial sized fan to blow the stuff and then the wind and then
And they've, like, stuck all the dynamite in the meat, and, like some people...
They're hiding. Put some buns over that.
Put some buns. They'll never know.
They don't want those fries. Those frozen fries.
Yeah. And then we're like, and then cartoonish industrial plunger. Like, we have... Now, the one thing I don't get is... So, they watch all of
Burger? No, you can keep that.
They watch all the critters roll towards the meat. Land, and so some people stayed back at the church.
Yes,
but then other townsfolk are just like walking along with them.
They have torches and pitchforks and other weapons, and they're staying downwind. But they're trying to get any stragglers that might not go along.
Right,
my guess to kill.
But even then, it's like
the townspeople is woefully prepared to take on even one critter.
Yeah. And so they're following along. They get to. They get pretty close, and they've all been, like, eating cows and everything. And so I will say there's this – they keep going to this close-up shot of, like, the big – there's, like, a bigger critter. And his face, like, as he's eating, like, the mouth movements are really good. And it goes back to the brothers who do the like, killer clowns. You see the same kind of – like facial movements and stuff.
Do they have that too? Where, like, where they have the teeth inside, where you can, like, it's still good. I like
that. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, the teeth that they did in this one, because that's something that's carried over from the first movie, where their mouth is all teeth, all the roof of their mouth, everything is teeth.
Did you guys show me, like, pictures of them, like, later on with
the third one? Yeah, third movie on.
Really cartoonish. I want them to keep this aesthetic of the critters, because this seems more menacing, but, you know, fun. Yeah.
But that. They do that too. That, like, happened with, like, Yoda too.
Yeah.
Yoda, they.
Are you comparing these critters to Yoda?
Well, in Phantom Menace, when they were like, we want it to be puppetry still.
Right.
And Yoda was like, this really, like, I should be on Nickelodeon, dudes, kind of look. And so, it just didn't work. So they think it was just the time when they were like, we can make puppets, but more expressive. And it just didn't work.
Do you think this is in the same universe as Soldier Shorts because of the UGG reference?
I definitely do. It definitely is.
Yeah. Not Hey Dude, but more You know, some Lucha shorts.
Yeah.
Maybe a Pete and Pete. Do you think a Pete and Pete would be in there?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's more of your
dream. I believe that already the strongest man in the universe could take out
the take all of them. Maybe he is.
One of them with a bowling ball. He's already prepared.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's all over.
That guy's super strong in real life.
All the critters are rolling towards the meat packing or the burger place, and the wind changes and blows the other direction. So now they go, ooh, fresh meat, live meat.
Yeah.
And so you're like, oh shit. And of course, Harv is like, ooh, like this is not good.
This is where they needed to cut to Eddie Deason going,
Eddie Deason going,
Oh no, they're gonna eat us.
So they're going that way. They're all like, oh man, live meat, let's do this. And the critter leader, the crite leader goes, who is huge.
Yes, huge.
Which I was
huge.
When I first saw this, I remember being like, oh shit, that's like final boss. This is gonna be this thing. And it goes, hey, no, cheeseburgers, like no bones. That's even better. Let's go this way first. And they go, yeah, you're right. Thanks for setting us straight.
Yeah.
Thanks. And so they turn around and they go into the factory. And
we can get back cow disease. We don't want to do that.
It's fine. Yeah, so they go in there and they realize the big crite. They're like, where did that one come from? And all of a sudden it starts changing. It was Ugg.
Yeah, which I actually like that.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
They didn't spoil it. They didn't really, like, do anything other than show you that that's what happened. Then you automatically understand that he was being attacked, and he transformed immediately into a large critter and hurt them all.
Yeah.
Which is pretty funny.
Yeah. So Ugg changes into that, and then he, you know, it's like, okay, well, we need to get out of here. And one of the little crites is like, hey, wait a minute, and bites him. And then they end up crushing it with the door. They get out of there, and they blow the place up.
I'm laughing because this is so great.
Yeah. So Brad kisses Megan as his reward. There's 10 minutes left.
Like, no, there's 10 minutes left. This ain't done.
It's like 10 minutes left.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's wrapped up. It's just got to be happy endings after that, right?
Right.
Right.
10 minutes of us just saying goodbye to each other.
Well, and you hear this kind of like weird rumbling under it. Wesley comes up. And he goes, he's like, oh, guys, look out. It's going to blow again. And they're like, no, it's not. That's not what you think. And all of a sudden, the critters, the crites, we saw them do it earlier in a smaller scale.
Yeah, there's like two or three of them that got together as a big furball.
Yes. And now they all joined, all of them joined together into one massive ball.
I thought they all their fur melted together and they became like a giant rat king version of crites.
Now, so maybe. Because this is the first time I've ever seen this. When I saw that, I turned to you and said, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I was so really happy. Like that.
Yeah,
because when that, a lot of like horror movies like this, but like I was like, yes. Whoever thought of that, please, yes.
It became extremely iconic. That's the thing that they used in the trailers to try and sell it by too, is you see the giant ball of crites rolling around.
I mean, that totally makes sense.
Yeah. So like the whole time you're watching it the first time after you see that trailer, and I'm glad we didn't play the trailer because that spoiled that moment for you. But the whole time you're watching the movie, you're just like, where's the giant crit ball? Where's the giant critter ball? Give me it.
Well, it's the poster or like the DVD cover.
Well, they do the beat so well because you're like, all of a sudden you're like, there's just silence. And then everything breaks down and you see this huge like critter ball roll out. And you're like, yes!
Well, and it's like you kind of get the image of it, but then they zoom in on the ball.
Yeah, that was
and you
great.
See the critter puppets are all like, nah, 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 like you see them like reacting and like getting angry, and you're like, oh shit, this thing is.
And you're like, it's just gotta be one of those guys in one of those big balls.
But yeah, The larger scenes of it that just look like they took one of those like hexagonally formed balls that, you know, they coated it with the fur to give it the different. And this guy just running.
There's this game on American Gladiators where they're in that kind of glow thing and they were trying to like score.
It's like a human hamster ball. Yeah, human hamster ball.
So great. I loved it.
So now this is something that stuck with me and actually still freaks me the shit out. Like it seriously does. Great. Like,
awesome.
To me, this is one of like the grisliest things. And so the ball is rolling and now it's coming at those people who were way too close and they're like, oh shit, run. And so they all start taking off.
I mean, this is great.
And there's one guy who falls and it rolls over him. And as it goes over him and it goes past, you see just his skeleton, basically. His gory, blooding skeleton.
Yeah, there's like some gristle and stuff left behind.
Yeah, that's it. But it's still like shaking. Like what's left on there is still like twitching and whatever. Oh, that is what... That freaked me out when I was like, oh my god, when I was a kid. Like, that stuck with me. To me, that's like... Because I've seen... kind of similar things where like, you know, somebody's face gets eaten off or like something that happens like that. Or like when bugs swarm over somebody and as they go by, then the person's just like skeleton, that kind of stuff freaks me out. And it's because of this, that's where that started.
I always remembered it being like they roll over like tons and tons of people, but you only see that one.
Yeah. And I always remember like bunches of them and it's just one.
Yeah. I don't know if maybe,
but the way they do it, it's so great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But you only need to see it the once.
Yeah, what's the need?
Yeah, because then the threat is established and everybody else is running from it, and that's all you need.
Yeah. And, well, and then they, of course, get back into the Gazette truck. And I thought this was cool.
Which has no windows.
Yeah, which has no windows. Which, again, almost bites them in the ass. But they're driving alongside of it because it's heading to the church. Because it's going to take out where the kids are, basically. And so they're like, oh, shit. So they're heading after it. And it's like they're, like, in, like, a you know, movie where you're trying to stop a car or something. They're, like, getting next to it and, like, hitting it with the truck. And, of course, when they're doing that, the critters are biting it. And so, like, the door flies off and you see things getting damaged on the vehicle. I mean, it's really cool. It's the kind of thing that you would have, like, in a video game where you were fighting the final boss.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Kind of. Yeah. I guess. Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. I like that.
I mean, it's very like, it's action packed. Mm-hmm. I love it. It's great.
So then, how do they stop this thing?
Oh, so earlier when the thing started coming back, or when you thought they were going to turn around and come back, like before the burger plant, Charlie just ran away. And of course, everybody looks down on him anyway, because he used to be the town drunk. So now they're just going, you just don't know where he went.
Well, and the movie makes you feel like it's a moment of cowardice where he's giving up because Ugg's lost his shit, Lee is dead, and you feel like Charlie's just a coward and
he's relapsing.
Yeah. And so as the critter ball is heading right for the church and they've been unable to stop it, you get, all of a sudden you see their bounty hunter ship flying in and Charlie is piloting it. And he says, I am a bounty hunter! And just flies straight into the critter ball and blows it up.
Yeah, he kamikazes the shit out of them.
Yeah.
And so he sacrificed himself.
Yeah. And so people are like, Charlie? Or Megan is like, Charlie? I don't think she was so much sad as she was like
for
trying to remember his name. Was that Charlie?
She's like, anything other than a trophy for our main character?
So it's been destroyed. The day is saved. Hip hip hooray. So at the end, basically, they're saying their goodbyes.
Well, did you say Ugg turns into Charlie?
Oh, yeah, Ugg turns into Charlie to honor him.
To honor him.
Well, he does that the next day, doesn't he? Or is it that night?
No, he does it that night.
Oh, yeah, he does.
And turns into Charlie. They're wrapping up.
Well, so this, when you're talking about nobody wants to look like Charlie, Charlie's not acting kind of like, hey, I'm the town, I'm a good old boy kind of thing.
I was just joking about that.
Yeah, I know you are right now. But when he's not, like, doing the... but, like, this is when I was like, wow. Like, you don't realize how much of a character Charlie is. Like, he's playing Charlie. It's not just some guy who's, hey, I'm crazy Jeff who's being Charlie. You know, he's not just... It's not just him.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's fine.
When Ugg is him, he's, like, very regal, and it almost seems like an entirely different person.
The gap in his teeth is still there, but it's not as noticeable and as goofy for some reason.
The gap in his acting has disappeared.
Well, the Charlie character in the first movie is supposed to be, he's an alcoholic, but he's also supposed to have, like, mental issues, too. And that's part of the reason why he's an alcoholic.
So,
sorry.
Basically the next day, everybody's taking off. Brad, his bus is back, and he was just breezing through town for the holiday weekend.
The sheriff
comes
back from Alaska and decides to become the sheriff again. And the other one dies. And now he's heading off in a Hawaiian shirt on the bus and gives Brad shit for...
Aren't they heading to Alaska? I swear they're heading to Alaska.
In a Hawaiian
the bus
shirt
goes the wrong way.
They took a right turn in Albuquerque.
Now, as everything is happening there, all of a sudden, you know, they were like, you know, we didn't have a happy enough ending. So, and because there are people, like, playing catch in the park. And, like,
yeah, they really are.
There's people doing, like, normal, happy life
type stuff.
The town
was slaughtered.
Yeah.
Slaughtered. Yes. Poor Joe, who died when the ball rolled over him. Yeah. We're not crying over that, but we're going to play baseball.
Was that the shitheel farmer earlier who was, like...
I think so.
I think it was.
It's okay for
because,
him to die as far as I'm concerned.
They very established, if you're a dick character...
Yeah, if you're a dick character,
which
is not that many in this. Yeah.
Yeah.
But none of the preacher is like a dickhole.
No,
it's not like John Lithgow, like
something,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he just didn't want people to dance. He was fine with everything else.
Well, yeah, that's fine. He's very pro killing Kreitz.
Kill all Kreitz.
So as everybody's doing this, like, you know, we didn't have a happy enough ending. So Charlie comes traipsing up, dragging a parachute behind him.
Because those are really helpful in space.
In space.
If he's I'm saying this again, if he's in low orbit, why wouldn't you have all that stuff?
Because you would think that the spaceship would be okay. You wouldn't need, like what Court says, you wouldn't need that.
It wouldn't
the capsule
space it
itself
wouldn't.
Should have a parachute. But
or like an
that.
Escape pod.
Now, if he pulled the parachute off the capsule and used the capsule's parachute to save his own life, that brings him up another notch of badassdom.
Right, that's exactly what happened.
Would you have like an
okay,
escape
then
pod?
I believe that. I'll push that.
escape pod. I'm just saying an escape pod.
Yeah, I'll totally buy that. He crashed the spaceship, but used the actual spaceship's parachute to save his own life.
Sure.
Whatever. That's super badass. And I totally believe that a town drunk farmhand could do that.
All right, so Charlie's alive.
That's the part that matters in all of this.
That's all the part that matters.
Charlie's alive through undisclosed means. So he's like, hey, what I miss? And he sees Ugg, and, you know, Ugg kind of tells him, hey, I'm going back to space. And, which I was like, why didn't Charlie go with Ugg? But I guess,
I don't know. Maybe he found more of, you know, after his heroicness, he felt more comfortable.
They don't actually mention, I don't really recall what was going on in the dialogue there. They don't really say anything, but this time Ugg and Lee are going to take off and Charlie's torn.
Well, Lee's gone.
No, Lee's gone.
Yeah, Lee's still gone. Yeah, Lee is dead.
Remember Lee died?
Oh, so it was Ugg that...
Ugg who shapeshifted into
the
crater.
I thought that was Lee.
So Ugg's going back to space. You mean the space between Charlie's teeth, right? Is that what we're talking
about? That's where he lives.
Yes.
He's a cavity creep.
There's space for all of us to live there.
I'm just saying. Okay.
We're really hateful with the dental stuff.
I'm just jealous because he has all of his teeth.
Christ has risen.
That was the punchline to this movie.
Yes.
So So Oga sends into the clouds, and he...
It's a solo rapture.
It's a solo rapture.
Solo rapture.
Everyone else is
the leftovers.
I'm going to heaven, you dicks! So he gets raptured.
The end, right?
By the other ship that flies in. And the sheriff is like, hey, Charlie, I know we usually vote on this thing, but you are the sheriff now.
There you go, you're the sheriff. That's how it works.
It's kind of like an old Western thing.
Yeah.
Like he's handing it over to him and that kind of thing.
Yeah. And so he becomes a sheriff.
Charlie got the sheriff. Brad got the girl. The whole town got saved.
Brad temporarily got the girl, and then he's leaving.
Yeah, then he leaves.
She's a trophy that he knows that he could achieve, but has decided to give up, which is even worse for this poor actress.
Yes. And then...
And then you've been deuced.
Yeah, you've been deuced.
So there you go. So that's a great... you know, I really liked this movie, and I was surprised how much I did, care for the characters. I thought, oh, we're going to at least get, like, some terrible townspeople. For the most part, like, the characters were pretty well, I thought. You know,
oh, yeah.
Even the asshole farmer, you understand why he's terrified.
Right,
that
it's
going
to
happen again, and that's why he's being like that. It's fear and paranoia.
Yeah. Yeah, even then, though the guy was a dick, I'm like, yeah, okay, I get it.
Yeah. And Quigley is probably the slimiest guy, and you knew that he was going to die, but all the people that are assholes, it's a morality tale. If you're an asshole, you're crab food, and that's perfect.
I'm an asshole.
An asshole.
So should we go over our five questions?
We should.
We should.
Okay, so question the first.
Question one.
What is the best part of this movie?
Well, Critterball. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I tend to, you know, build it up, you know, like, say other things. Yeah.
But Critterball.
Yeah, Critterball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a new
sport. I was even like, but okay, besides the Critterball, like, first we didn't talk about the spikes that shoot out of, which are actually white.
They're more prominent in the first movie. They use that a lot more as part of their hunting.
That's what I was wondering. I was like, come on, you have that. Why not use that more?
Because they use that a lot in the first movie.
Okay.
And it actually has paralytic effects where if you get shot in the leg, your leg stops working. It's like,
that's what happened to her dad. Her dad got stuck with one of those.
Can I actually say, like, I was okay with the music, actually. Like, with
the score. Really
with
well.
The score is actually very fine. Well. I was like, oh, but Critterball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Particularly Critterball rolling over that guy and then devouring him whole.
Yeah, specifically the Critterball.
Yeah, that is the thing that will always have me come back to this movie. Shit, I want to watch that again.
I think the critters themselves, I just think they're such interesting characters, like, in and of themselves. Because, like, it's not a new trope. I mean, you have, like, the brood, you have these other, I mean, you know, any kind of,
this is not reinventing or inventing.
No, it's not. But it has
it's basically the blob with little mini swarms of creatures.
Yes. Yeah.
That's basically what the plot line is.
They do it in an interesting way where they have a biology to them. They, you know, they're threatening. And there's a terrifying nature to it, but at the same time, it mixes it with humor.
Mean-spirited creatures that enjoy causing pain for their food.
Right, but there's something fun about it, but it's not cartoonish quite to the point where you're like, I don't want anything to do with this.
Right.
Right?
To me, this is not as cartoonish as the Gremlins and Gremlins 2.
Right, very much so.
But
it's a better sequel.
Better creatures than the Gremlins and Gremlins 1, I think.
I think so.
The thing I like about the Gremlins in the original Gremlins over this is they have their own unique personality.
Right, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah,
like, these are all like...
The critters are more like militaristic or like a swarm of bugs where they have a similar mind. This one does, however, it's the most gremlin-y of the version of the critters.
Correct. Yeah.
From here on, they get more gremlin-like stuff where you actually do see different types of personalities. And they do try to make hero ones. Like the one when he gets his head, the hair shaved off, he becomes like a hero character where he kind of is not necessarily the leader, but you see him more and more as stuff's going on in the background and things like that. And they do go a little overboard with it in later shows, or later versions of the critters. But this one is the scariest that they are. that they can be. This one has the most, like, basic storyline and plot. They threw more money to it, and the effects are the best.
Like, yeah, everything balances out correctly in this movie.
Yeah,
yes.
Nothing's
It's a perfect balance.
It's how you do a feature sequel is this. This is a good template for
it. This is not Oscar caliber, you know, movie, but it's enjoyable.
Yes.
It's fun.
Yeah.
And why not?
So I think that's the best part. Yes. I mean, obviously the
critterballs.
Critterball. Would you reboot, continue, or cancel?
Well, like we were talking about, they already rebooted this, or they already
Just based solely off of this.
Oh, continue. I want to see more of this, especially if like that's what they're doing with like the
And have the Kyoto brothers do the effects.
Correct.
Give it the same flair.
Give it the same flair. Not this cartoon. Like I want the same kind of aesthetic that they have with the. With
or
the critters.
Make them even just a little bit more sinister where the crites are like coming for revenge on the town.
I could do a little bit more sinister. And I really like, I remember I was like, wow, I really like his eyes because his eyes are like freaky.
Especially the bigger one where they had more space to be able to develop it and make it look more.
That's the
like
one where I like looked at you and went, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Or to do something, just do something different in general. Like have, you know, different, even if it's, you know, subspecies or something like that. Like, interesting things like that.
Yeah.
I think that like I would personally want to continue it as well, but it has to strike that balance of humor and like danger.
Yeah.
It's got to have that balance to make sure it doesn't work.
Yeah.
I think they went too much into the humor after this.
Yeah.
But well, do you feel like that happens with Tremors though too? Like in a way, like where they get very. It gets very cartoonish.
Yes.
The Tremor series, it doesn't really happen until after the third one, because I think the third one... I mean, there's always a little bit of tongue-in-cheek humor with the way they end up naming them, because it's just non-scientific names that they just... This is what this thing does, so therefore...
Yeah.
It uses heat blasted out of its ass, so it's an ass blaster.
Yeah, yeah.
It grabs people, so it's a Graboid, that kind of thing.
Well, so the second one was where they were walking around, and they were like the little like the little critterish ones. Right in Tremors, and the third one is when they fart and they fly because when I'm like, ugh.
They do a life cycle thing that's really cool, and I actually didn't mind the ass blasters as much. And I totally admit that those are cornball as shit.
Yeah,
I like Tremors too. That's my favorite one of that series as well. So
you guys get there. Let me Tremors too, as well. Just saying. Anyway, go ahead. Question three.
Question three. Does this stand on its own?
Well, like for me, not seeing the first one and only kind of seeing the third one a long time ago.
Yeah.
I don't think it does because there's a lot of questions I had that you guys later answered for me.
Yeah.
So I would say no.
Yeah, I totally agree. If you are the type of person that can just see a movie on cable and just come in and watch it and not need to know a lot of backstory and not wonder. Like if you caught it on cable, I could see that. But if you're someone that wants to know what the hell's going on, you're lost for a good portion of the start of the movie.
But having said that, that doesn't mean you're going to be lost of that much. I mean, they do kind of explain stuff a little bit, but you are lost in a way.
Yeah.
But it's not like a lot of sequels where you're like totally in the dark.
Yeah, what the hell's happening?
Yeah.
Yeah. It helps if you've seen the first one,
but
you don't necessarily have to. It just makes this one a little smoother transition.
Yes.
Yes. I would agree, I would completely agree with that. Like, I don't think I'm going to say anything that's going to outdo that. I just agree. Let's go to the next question then. Does this want to make you watch the first one?
For me, it does.
Yeah.
For me, I want to see the progression of like how we got to the big rolling ball. Like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Even if you say that it's, you know, there wasn't a lot of money in the first one, but I want to see that. Like, I want to see kind of the progression of it. That's just me though. And I think that this movie makes me want to, you know, not only answer those questions, but like, I don't know. I just had fun with this movie. So I'm thinking, you know, I would watch these back to back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They make a great pair of back-to-back. That's why I have the first two on Vudu. I bought them as a pack, and then I never really...
So you would, based on this, like, if you never have seen the first one, would it make you want to watch it first?
Yeah, I would go back and watch the first one. And actually, seeing the second one is what got me into all the other critters.
So there you go. So it did.
Yeah, it did that to me, totally.
Even if, you know,
would you say this is better than the first one?
I love this one. Yeah, I love this one a lot more than the first one. But the first one's still good. It's just, it's a little more cornball, I think, than this one is.
Well, it was, it was the first one. They were trying something. It was different.
Yeah.
It would make me want to watch the first one. It actually makes me want to, like, check out the rest of the series. I know that they're not going to necessarily be, like, have the same exact things that I like here. Like, we talked about, like, they get a little bit more cartoonish.
Yeah.
But it still makes me want to see them because I'm like, okay, like,
This movie builds up so much goodwill that you're willing to sit through the next couple of them and be like, all right, what do you got?
Yeah, exactly.
They each have a moment. Like,
how do you outdo that?
Like, you get, like, Critter Ball, you'll get, like, a mega Critter Ball, you know? Like, that's the fun stuff where they do really crazy things,
right.
You know?
I want all of them to, like, link together and make a giant critter. That's what I want.
Well, they do have, in the first one, that was really different, is, like, the ones that have been around longer get bigger and bigger. And
yeah.
I just want them to all link arms and, like, hands across America.
Well, you see the
they hide underground for like a decade or more, and then they come out in like red costumes
and red costumes and scissors.
That's the ones.
Yeah, I mean, that's just us, you know.
That is us. Right.
So this is the one that's the tough one. And Court, you can go last if you need a chance to think through this a little bit.
Okay.
Sum up your experience in two words.
Well, my two words, I think, were hairy fun.
Hairy fun?
Hairy fun. Because this movie is fun. I didn't think I'd like it as much as I did. And I guess it just made me appreciate, I'm not, like, the biggest horror fan, right?
Yeah.
But it made me appreciate, like, the effects that come into horror itself. And the fact that, like... I don't know. Like, it just made me enjoy how you kind of take a B movie and kind of, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. Like, I have a more appreciation for stuff like this instead of like slamming it, like I used to say 10 years ago.
Yes.
Like, I'm not going to watch that. That's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
No, this isn't a piece of shit.
I got my two words.
But,
okay.
Party movie.
It would be a good party movie.
It's so much fun to watch it in a group. It really is. Yeah.
No, I would agree with that. My two words are snack attack.
I love it.
Yeah. It's just a movie where, along those lines of party, like this could be a fun theme thing for like, hey, here's the kind of snacks you have at your party or whatever. I mean, like you could do all sorts of things here.
It's a tray that looks like a skeleton for part two.
Cut a little bite out of each one.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's all sorts of stuff.
The heifer hamburgers.
Yes.
Right.
The whole thing is, it is just fun. Like, I think it's highly enjoyable.
Absolute fun. I mean, I think that people need, I say if you want to spend, and this is, the movie isn't that long, right?
No.
You can spend, you know, an hour and plus some.
It was like an hour and 25 or something.
Yeah, it's 85 minutes. And feel any of it.
No, you don't. Like, because I think you're having fun with it. And you're not going, look, there are some cheesy moments, but never did I roll my eyes.
No.
You know, so there you go. So that concludes our episode of Critters 2. So, Court, tell everyone where they can find your podcast.
Yeah, legionpodcast.com/cinema-psyops. You can also just search the web for Cinema Psyops. We're in Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, everywhere podcasts are given away for free.
What do you got coming up?
Actually, on our 200th episode is coming up very soon. Yeah, we're about 7 or 8 weeks away right now. Actually, the next recording will be 7 weeks away. And for our 200th episode, I'm going to tease it on your show. I don't want to reveal it just yet, but I'll just tease it out there. We're going to do a franchise fest, which is we go through and do an entire franchise as a run. And we're going to do that from 200 until the closing of our year four, starting year five. And it's a franchise that I have been chomping at the bit to cover since I started podcasting. I've been waiting. But we needed to be in the right spot where we actually are decent reviewers before we touch this one.
Oh, Perfect. So look for the Police Academy movies coming soon.
Yes, I do. I actually do have a lot of reverence for the Police Academy movies and their wonderful portrayal of the female anatomy. Yes. Because they're not really people in those movies. They're just objects of desire.
Sure. And Jeremy, where can people find us?
So people can find us. You can find us at thedeucepodcast.podbean.com. You can find us on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher.
Whatever fine podcasts are given away.
Yeah, basically. All the podcatcher. Pretty much any podcatcher.
Rate us on iTunes.
What's that?
Rate us on iTunes.
Yeah, please rate us on iTunes.
Rate us.
I would definitely appreciate it.
Like Grindr and Tinder.
Yeah. Yes.
We are on YouPorn under
Send us a tweet.
Two Guys, One Microphone. You can also nophonynetwork.com. You can find us along with all of our pod network mates. And then you can also find us on Facebook at our group. Make sure to join. Or you can also get us at Twitter at Deuce Podcast.
So, thanks, Court, for showing up.
Yeah, very much, man.
Evercast Studios. Critters, too. I mean, I would have done it anyway, probably regardless of the movie you guys picked. Yeah. You had me at Critters,
You don't want to come back for, we'll be going back to our prequels? You don't want to do Dirty Dancing Havana Nights with us?
Hard pass.
It'll be a hard pass, all right.
All right.
We actually wanted to do this. We wanted to do Critters 2.
Yeah.
Like, when we first started, in April.
Yeah.
And, like, we got in the full swing, and then we were like, shit, Easter movie. Like, we just missed it. So we're like, we'll get out, and we come back around. And then last year...
You missed the exit, just like, what's his name, playing the piano?
Yeah. Yes. Marks.
Yeah.
So the next year, we were like, we need to do it. I can't remember if we had something else going on and didn't get to it, or we were in the middle of a different series or what, but we... It ended up going by the wayside again. We didn't time it out right. We were like, shit. And so this year, I was like, we're going to miss it again because we're off 1 week. And Bradley goes, we'll break up the series. We need to do this.
Well, it's funny, when you were texting me about it too, you were just kind of like, so we were thinking about having you on for an Easter episode. In my head, I'm going, Curse too. Critters 2. And then you were like, it's going to be Critters 2. And then you were typing something else to me, and I'm like, I'm in.
That was easy. So, all
right. Thank you for showing up again on holiday episode.
What is this, like 3 out of 4 we're on holiday episodes?
No.
Stir was a Halloween episode.
Oh, yeah, it was a Halloween.
It was our Halloween series.
Oh, yeah, then I guess it is 3 out of 4 holidays.
Yeah.
I guess we'll have to do a Christmas deuce or something.
Yes. Valentine's Day deuce.
We will find something. stay tuned, and we'll complete our series next episode of our prequels, sequels. So, but remember, folks, the sequel is king. Hey, little buddies, come gather round. This here's the very best eating in town. A hungry heifer's the place to be. Lip-licking good, you can take it from me. Try a bowl of burgers, some buffalo chips. I'll wash it all down with a moose shake. Smack your lips, suck for hours on your fingertips. At the Hungry Heifer, we won't give you a bum steer. And don't you forget, all of your friendly Hungry Heifer restaurants throughout the Midwest are open on Easter Sunday. So after church, why don't you and your family stop in for a creamy moo shake or some crispy buffalo chips? And we'd like to invite you and your family to visit our factory right off of Highway 54 just outside of Grover's Bend. We'd love to see you. Moo. At the Hungry Heifer, we won't give you a bum steer.